Good morning. I've been suffering with some kind of a cold or bronchitis, so if I start coughing, I'm going to ask you to forgive me as I start here. I thought about not singing this morning because it seems like that starts it all up, but I couldn't hardly not participate. I was worse last week, and I hardly got to sing at all for coughing, so I enjoyed the song service, and we're really blessed here with a lot of talent, and I appreciate Ralph and the songs this morning. We have Jeff and Shelley Bonetta and their son and daughter, Ben and Allison, with us this morning. And they've been coming and meeting with us now for several weeks, and they've indicated that they would like to place their membership here. I'm going to ask them to stand up so you can see who they are. They're sitting right back over here on my right. And we welcome them, and I see that Sherry is back there with Greg this morning, Greg and Sherry Shepherd. And we made that announcement last week, but he didn't have his better half with him. So I'm going to ask you, and Greg, you and Sherry, if you'll stand up so everybody can see who you are. Oh, Sherry's not here. Okay, she's gone? Do you really have a wife? Okay, all right, okay. Okay. So we had Greg and Sherry's... Their information was in the bulletin last week to update your directory, and we will have Jeff and Shelley's information in there, Lord willing, next week. But we welcome them. We're glad that they've chose to come here and be with us. A brand new year. I wanted to talk about some things that are new and some things that maybe we can think about doing in our new year. Our scripture reading was from Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 through 9. And it talks about some new things there. A new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And verse 5 says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' Write, for these words are true and faithful." And the verse before that says that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, and there will be no more pain. That's kind of unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, that really is. And he says, "I'm making everything new, and I am true, and I am faithful." I've always found God's promises to be true and to be faithful, and it is something that I look forward to. I like brand new things, and probably you do too. When I get something that's brand new, I try to be really careful with it. You know how you do when you get that new car or a new truck or you get a new refrigerator or stove. You know, our refrigerator at home right now, you can see less of the refrigerator. Well, maybe not less, but at least the freezer part, there's a lot less than there is. You can see a lot less of the refrigerator than you can the pictures of grandkids on there. You know, and you get new things and you say, "Well, I'm just going to take really good care of this. I'm going to make it last. I like the way it looks. I'd like for it to look like that as long as it could. I want to make the most out of it." And we know what happens, though. We start to get comfortable and we get complacent and we begin to let things slip. And before long, it's a used item. And we don't take the care with it that we once did. We enjoy it and we use it. I like a new year. It just signifies a lot of things to me. And I don't know what you feel or think when a new year rolls around, but for me, it's like a new beginning. It's like a fresh page has been turned, and I like to look at my life and evaluate what's going on in my life. I try to do that. I try to do that on a daily basis, but I really try to do that at the beginning of a new year. I really haven't made a resolution this year. resolutions are sometimes hard to keep. They say most of them fail. Most New Year's resolutions fail. Of course, most people coming out of the holidays, their big resolution is just to lose weight, just lose those pounds I put on over the holidays. And that one, you know, that very seldom pans out either. We start off pretty good, but I got to tell you, my kitchen counter's got this big apple pie and this big chocolate cake sitting on it right now, and I'm going to eat some of that when I get home. And Sean, you don't get any, because Jeff ate your piece last night. I don't know if he told you that or not, but he was supposed to. I'd like for us to think about some things that we might be able to do this year. I think these are things that are very beneficial to us physically, but probably the greatest benefit is that of a spiritual benefit. In Genesis chapter 45, Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers. You know, they've come to Egypt because of the famine. And we know there was a couple of trips there, and he worked it out so that he could get his actual full-blood brother Benjamin down there in Egypt with him. And it was a time that was hard for his brothers, but there also came a time that all those relationships were repaired. And I want to look at verse 12 and down to verse 15. And Joseph says, and we're jumping right in the middle here, where he has revealed himself to his brothers, and he says, behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hasten and bring my father down here. And listen to verse 14 and 15. He fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. I can't imagine how emotional that reunion was. I can't even begin to imagine it. It says that he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and he wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. And moreover, he kissed all his brothers, and he wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. I want to encourage you that I think a new year is a good time to repair relationships. I think it's a very good time to repair relationships. The longer that we let things go, the more hardened we become to it. And before long, we're so convinced that it's all right, that we never, ever get to it. I doubt that Joseph's brothers ever thought they would have the chance to be in the situation that they were in right here. Probably, as far as they were concerned, he was dead. He was gone forever. But they were able. There wasn't any talk about what you did to me and what you did to me, and Joseph, this is what you were. They just fell on each other's neck and they wept. And that relationship was repaired. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17 says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. And that's what keeps us apart, isn't it? That's why we stay apart. There's something in there that won't let me come back to you, or won't let you come back to me. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. I want you to hear how it's labeled in the Scripture. It is labeled as sin. Carrying around sin. And we wonder why we struggle sometimes spiritually. We even struggle. If you're struggling spiritually, you're struggling physically. It has a direct effect on your life. We wonder why we're struggling spiritually. It is because sometimes we are just simply carrying around this weight of sin. A new year is a good time to repair relationships. Matthew 5, 23 and 24, Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, he says, stop all that. Put an end to all that. Leave your gift right there. Go away and be reconciled, and then you can come back and offer your gift. Spiritually, relationships are very important. Our spiritual health depends upon healthy relationships with our brothers and sisters and those who are around us in our day-to-day life. A new year is a good time to repair a relationship. And you know, it won't come without pain. It won't come without effort, and it won't come without a struggle. And you'll probably have to gulp down your pride and your ego and whatever it is that's out there, however you think that you've been wronged or done a disservice to. It's not hard. It's not easy. It's a hard thing to do. But it is a good time. Man, what a way to start off a new year. Get rid of that weight, that sin that we're carrying around. The second thing that I would encourage you to do or think about in the new year is to use your talent. In Matthew chapter 25, we read what's commonly referred to as the parable of the talents. And Jesus talks about this master, this ruler that went away. And he gave to one man five talents, and to another man two talents, and to another man one talent. And two of those guys went to work, and they put those talents to use, and they doubled them. But there was this one man, and he was like a lot of us. He just makes the statement. He says these four little words, or three words. I was afraid. He says, I was afraid. So I hid that talent you gave me down in the earth so it wouldn't be lost and it wouldn't be stolen. I knew you were a hard man. You reap where you don't sow and you gather where you don't straw. I knew you were a hard man. And his master said, you know, you've told me you knew about me. You told me you knew what I require. But yet you took that talent. He said, the very least that you should have done was taken that to the bank, put it in the bank, and drew some interest on it. And the outcome was that what he had was taken away from him and given to the one that had the 10 talents. And it says that he told his servants, cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a serious thing to not use what God has given us. We're very gifted here. We have a lot of talent here. And I don't know if it's all being used or not. I just personally can't keep in contact with 300 people. I try to keep in contact with as many people as I can. There's four elders here, and there's 300 people. We don't know if you're using your talent or not, but you know if you're using your talent or not. And talents are, You know, I mean, that's a broad spectrum when we're talking about using your talents. That doesn't mean that you get up here. I mean, this is part of it, getting up here and standing in the pulpit or teaching a class or doing something. But it's a broad, huge, wide open field to use your talent. The thing is, if you're afraid, I remember the first time that my name was down on the list to read Scripture. I don't know how old I was. I wasn't real old. Teenager. I was scared to death. I was petrified, to be honest. We had a larger pulpit than this. It's since been done away with. But it was taller. It was a little bit taller. And it kind of encompassed you more. And I felt a little comfort in that because I knew I could get back there and hide. And my knees were physically knocking together. That's how, I mean, I was scared to death when I got up here the first time. I remember, you know. I don't remember the scripture. It was somewhere in the Psalms, I think. And it had the word calamity in there. And I just could not, you know, it was the old King James Version. And I just couldn't get that word. And I went over and asked Anastelle, I said, "What is this word?" And she said, "It's calamity." And she said, I told her, I said, "I just can't remember it. I mean, I'd read on that for a week or more." I told her, I said, I can't remember it, you know. And she said, "Well, just remember Calamity Jane." And see, that's been years and years and years and years ago. And I can remember it today, but I could not remember it the day I got in there in this pulpit to read that reading and called it Calamites anyway. I was scared to death. I was petrified. And it was a crossroads for me. It really was. I could have been so afraid that I'd have just said, I just can't do it. And really, I wanted to. I don't know where I'd be at today. I was afraid. And I took that talent and I buried it in the earth. And I'm giving you back exactly what you gave me. We have talents, and I don't know why sometimes we don't use them. You know, sometimes maybe we don't think we're in the place that we should be. Maybe we don't think we're getting the recognition that we should get. Maybe somebody said something the last time that I did something that I heard somebody say something negative about it. There's all kinds of reasons why we don't use our talent. But we need to go ahead and try to put that talent to work. A new year is a good time to change. I don't believe in change just for the sake of change, but I do believe in change. I know I need to change. I know I need to change till the day I die. But I know I'm going to base the changes that I make in my life on what's revealed to me out of God's Word. And sometimes if you have a chorus of people that are telling you need to change this in your life, I mean, if it's a chorus of people, I think I'd probably listen to them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, one little dog yapping over here and one little dog yapping over there don't really mean a whole lot to me. But if it's a chorus of people saying, if you'd make this change in your life, your life would be so much better. Your spirituality would be so much better. Your relationships would be so much better. I'd try to listen to that. I'd try to listen to that chorus of people. In Luke chapter 13 and verses 1 through 5, and this is I'm just going to read it. It says, "There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things?'" Think about that. Pilate took their blood and mingled it with the sacrifices. And Jesus said, "Do you think that because this happened to them, they're worse sinners than all the other Galileans?" I like what the King James says here. It says, "Nay, no. I tell you not, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We need to change. When we know there's a change there that we need to make, we just need to make it. We need to do it. If you grew up with a last name like my last name, saying these three words out loud was rarely heard. It was often displayed, but rarely heard. And those three words are, I love you. It was rarely heard. And there's some more families sitting here like that. You know? We do love people. It's just, no one ever said it. It's just a change. It's a simple change that needs to be made. I vowed to myself that my children would never grow up without hearing me say, I love you. Right to their face. All the time. I do it today. My children are adults. Grown. I tell them in public. I don't care where I'm at, I tell them. I tell my grandkids all the time, I love you. I love you. I want them to know it. I want to show it, but I want them to hear it. I want them to know it. I hug them. I had to learn to hug other people. We need to change. We need to repent. We hold on to things that have no value, no spiritual value in them whatsoever. And you say, well, that's just not me. That's why I'm calling it change. That's just not me. And I'm only giving you two little examples. There's thousands of examples in places that we need to change. Maybe we just need to stop complaining all the time. You know, there's some people, that's all they do is just gripe and complain and fuss, and they're in the negative. All the gears in their transmission say in. Negative. Negative, negative. Every year I'm in, it's negative. It doesn't matter how fast I'm going. We just need to change. We need to repent. We're supposed to be a light while we live here on this earth. The fourth thing I'd like to offer you is to deal with hidden sin in your life. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. We live in a really secretive age right now. We really do. You can get on the internet in the privacy of your home and you can view the most filthy, vile trash. You can send, I can't, but you can. I don't know how to do it. You can send text messages, and I know that's like way behind now, isn't it, right? Isn't there something even faster, something even more, you know, I mean, it's the communication age. And it's a very, very private, hidden, secretive time. People get to the place where they're typing so much emails and internets and text messaging and Twittering and all the stuff that's going on. When they walk up and see you face to face, they don't even know what to say to you. It is a secretive time. You know, we hear it all the time about a deacon here or a preacher there or an elder here that's just caught up and overwhelmed in internet pornography. You know, and at first you shake your head and you think, well, how did that happen? Because they got it right there in the privacy of their office. No one sees. No one knows. The new year is a good time to get rid of hidden sin out of your life. It could be thousands of things. I just gave you two or three little examples. It could be thousands of things. It could be the way I talk to my wife in the privacy of our home, when you don't see me and you don't hear me. Here's the bottom line. God will bring every work into judgment. Every work. Including every secret thing. Whether it is good or whether it is evil. 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Be sure that your sin will find you out. Because it really will. This is a great time. You know what happens? We take stuff and we got it swept up into a pile and we feel pretty good about that. We got it all gathered up in this pile. Then we sweep it up there under the rug and we put the rug down over it. And then it's out of sight. It's out of mind. I don't have to see it anymore. I don't see the ugliness of it. I don't think about it. And it's laying there over under the rug. But just because it's hidden doesn't mean it's okay. It just doesn't mean it's okay. It's just hidden. It's just hidden. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1 through 3. No, that's the wrong scripture. No, it's not. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. That's going to be a horrible day for some people. It's going to be a horrible day. What you've done in secret is going to be revealed. All I'm trying to encourage you to do is deal with it right now. I don't want to get up to the judgment day, and I'm sure there's going to be things. But I don't want to get up to the judgment day, and I don't really know how God's going to do that. You know, we got all kinds of technology. We can project right up here on the walls. I don't know how God's going to do that. But I know it's not going to be a comfortable time. It's not going to be enjoyable. We have the chance. We have the opportunity right now. We have a brand new year. We can turn over a leaf and get rid of this hidden sin out of our life. I believe there's people sitting here today that are drug addicted. I believe there's people sitting here today that are struggling with alcoholism. I believe there's people sitting here today that are struggling with sexual sin. And maybe you don't struggle, maybe you really enjoy it. And if you're still in the enjoyment phase, let me guarantee you, the day's coming when it's going to be a struggle. The day's coming when it will be a struggle. And there's all kinds of other things. All kinds of other things. This is a good time to turn over that new leaf and deal with that hidden sin and get it out of your life. I'd like to encourage you in the new year to live like you're dying. Remember that old Tim McGraw song? I loved that song. Says he got the x-rays and he started sitting around thinking about sweet time and said, what are you going to do? And he said, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. Most people wouldn't get on one of those PBR bulls. I like to ride, but I wouldn't get on one of them PBR bulls today. I would have when I was 19, but I wouldn't do it today. But he found out he was dying, and all of a sudden, he says in a song, I began to live. I began to live. And that's our problem. That is this shade, this opaque shade that Satan has pulled down over our eyes. That we're not dying. He's doing it now, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. He's got this shade pulled down over our eyes that we're not dying. We are dying. Physically, we are dying. We need to live like we're dying. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We're not staying here forever. We live like that, though. We should live like we were dying. You know, if we would live like we were dying, we'd repair those relationships. That's what we'd do. We'd repair them. Because what we tell ourselves is we got plenty of time to take care of that. We would use our talent. We'd make the changes that we know we need to make in our life. We'd deal with the hidden sin. Because we know that we're not staying here. And we know that we need to get those things taken care of while there's yet still time. And maybe this year, and maybe this day, you would become a child of God. Maybe this year, and maybe today, this very day, you would become a child of God. There's people sitting here in this audience this morning, they're lost. They're lost. They're without Christ. It's like walking around with a gun, a pistol stuck in your mouth with one bullet in the cylinder. That's exactly what it's like. You never know which time the hammer falls that your life will end. That's what it's like walking around without the blood of Jesus Christ. You're kidding yourself. You're playing a game that you can't win. It isn't even a game. Maybe this year, but it should be today. And I know all the reasons. I'm too bad. There's hypocrites here. I know all the reasons. Why not? I'm going to someday. I promise you I am. I know all the reasons why not. I've heard them. We've all heard them over and over and over. You've told them to yourself. And it's the reason that you still sit there in a lost condition. That's the reason you sit there still in a lost condition. Maybe today. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It simply does not matter what you've done. And I know that that's hard to believe. It simply does not matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. Once that you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. It's all gone. You say, but it's still there in my mind. I know it is. But God's forgiven it. It's all gone. All things have become new. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I'd beg you this morning to give your life to Christ today. It's a simple thing to do if you're willing to confess Him before men and you're willing to be immersed in baptism. It says that it's there when we do our part in the water of baptism, God does His part. That's when you're saved, and it's not before. That's when you're saved, and you can't be saved without it. You just can't. That's what the book says. That's what the man who hung on the tree said. You can't be saved without it. That's where you contact the blood of Christ. That's when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I haven't told this to a lot of people, but I got the privilege to baptize Caitlin Gamp in the year 2009. And it was so powerful. When she came up out of the water, you know how when someone is genuinely surprised and overwhelmed, like that? Has anybody ever seen that? A genuine, you've seen that? That's what she did immediately upon coming up out of the water. She wasn't gasping for air. It wasn't that, it wasn't a like that. It was, I just couldn't believe it. There wasn't a lot of people here, and I didn't tell everybody. But I said, I believe I witnessed her receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can think I'm crazy. You can think whatever you want. I don't really care. I know that that's the promise. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And maybe if we were more spiritual, we would see more spiritual things. We would grasp more spiritual things. The invitation is to you this morning, if you would like to become a child of God. If you just come on up, we're going to assist you. And if you want the prayers of this congregation, we'll assist you in that.